And at first, I want to get into the story about Alex Preti. I mean, this is just delicious. So as you know, we are in another Holocaust. Trump is another Hitler. ICE is the new Gestapo. Illegal immigrants are the new Jews. And this is just shutting the whole country down. It's grinding the country to a halt. We've been covering this now for several weeks. And we are thoroughly in a phenomenon. Let's be very clear about what this is. There is a massive, organized, concerted effort to prevent mass deportations. We're in a war here. And it's sort of a complicated picture because on the one hand, you have the Trump administration that is not even really doing mass deportations. It's not even really happening. And we've talked about this in great detail. And if you want more of that, you can watch my show from last night and the night before. But the best available estimates say that the Trump administration only deported about 230,000 people last year, which is really not very much, especially in light of how many people have crossed the border illegally in just the past 5 or 6 years. In the first Trump administration, in the Biden administration, this is really nothing. And what's more, even this year, in a year where the border is absolutely secure, you know, you might be getting anywhere between 20,000 to 100,000. It's hard to estimate it, but you might be getting somewhere around, let's throw a dart in the middle of it. Let's say you got 50,000 illegal immigrants that you could call gotaways, people that slipped across the border without being detected or apprehended. When you think about the fact that you cannot completely control irregular, illegal migration into the United States, at the end of the day, on net, how many people are you actually removing? Is it 180,000? Is it 150,000? It's 230,000 at the absolute most, but it could even be fewer than that on net. And when you take into account that under Biden, we were talking millions coming across every single year, there's nothing massive about this. It's not systematic. It is not massive. It does not reverse even the worst years of immigration that took place in the last administration under the predecessor. So this is why I say the picture is a little bit complex. It's not even really a massive deportation. There's sort of this open-ended question about whether there will be anything like a massive deportation. There seems to be an element inside the administration that is trying to make it happen. There are good people at ICE, at DHS, at Border Patrol. They want mass deportations, and there is an effort to get those resources to do it, to build the detention capacity, to hire the requisite personnel, train the existing personnel. There are lawyers working on the legal remedies when they get an injunction from a judge or when they run into some of these problems, like when they deport the wrong person, which there were a few high-profile cases like this. And so there does seem to be an effort inside the administration to follow through on this. There is extraordinary pressure from Trump's political base, from the voters, to follow through on this. At the same time, Trump is either completely unwilling or completely unable to actually satisfy these demands. Unwilling because there is pressure from the Chamber of Commerce. There is pressure from Wall Street, from Silicon Valley, from big agriculture, not to actually follow through. And it's also a question of competence. There's a faction inside the White House that wants it. It's debatable what side Trump is really on. There's also a very strong faction that is trying to shut it down. And maybe it's simply for lack of ability that Trump is not able to follow through. In any case, it's sort of interesting that one of the sides isn't even really a coherent side. It's not even that we are doing a massive deportation. It is the threat that we want one or that one might happen down the line. Now, what is very real, even if the mass deportations are not happening, what is very real is that the left is shutting it down regardless. even to the extent that there are large numbers of illegal immigrants being physically removed from the interior of the country, and two-thirds of them, most of them, do not have a criminal rap sheet, the Democrats are doing everything in their power to stop it. And I think this tells you something extraordinary about what the Democratic Party really is and what the left really is. Because for them, mass migration is a non-negotiable part of their vision, which is actually a little bit strange when you consider it. Because what are the fundamental planks of the Democratic Party? You could say it's about the working class. It's about American labor, like union workers, machinists, manufacturing workers. It's about public sector unions. It's about the poor. It's about the rights of minorities and women. And arguably, mass migration is not good for any of these groups. The illegal immigrants that come here get raped. The women get raped along the way. The illegal immigrants that come here are competing with our lower class that is native born for government benefits. There's only so many benefits and emergency rooms and public schooling to go around. They're in direct competition. They're also in competition for the jobs. And then when it comes to union labor, this is undercutting good, high-paying union jobs. It's arguable whether that's even good. And yet for Democrats, this is like a completely non-negotiable part of their platform. And it is absolute. They will entertain no limits on immigration, no restrictions on immigration, legal or illegal. It does not matter. They don't want to deport anybody. And that is effectively the policy under Obama and Biden. They were not deporting anybody. We talked about this last night. By the end of Obama's term, the only people they were deporting were illegal immigrants that were happened to be arrested by cops for other crimes. If an illegal immigrant got picked up for murder or rape in the course of that other crime, and then the cops ran their information and determined they were illegal, only then were they deported. That's not really, we're not even really enforcing immigration law at that point. It's sort of like a salutary neglect. We're basically telling illegals, as long as you don't bother anybody, you are effectively given amnesty. And of course, this only intensified under Joe Biden. So like I said, this is an absolute totalizing policy. It's debatable whether this is even good for a good portion of their base. And it speaks volumes that when an administration even begins to undo this, look at the convulsion that happens. And I think what that tells you, what is conspicuous about it, what is suspicious about it, what is extraordinary about it, remarkable, is it tells you that clearly this is fundamental to what the Democratic Party is. Either ideologically, which is to say the Democrats, they actually want to destroy white America. Like in their bones, in their heart of hearts, they are grounded in their ideology by an animosity for white America. They view it as an imperative, as a positive good. It is like a mission that they make America a majority minority country. And if you press them, they will admit this. They see this as America's historic comeuppance. As a matter of fact, they see it as Europeans as a race, Christians as a civilization. They see this as historic retribution. They're motivated by this sense of guilt, of cosmic justice, that the white man had his chance, the white man had his time, committed so many crimes, and now the white man will get a taste of his own medicine. He will be put in minority status. He will be a victim of tyranny. He will be a victim of preferential treatment for another group, and so on. But it also tells you about how the Democratic Party functions economically and politically. They need illegal immigrants to win the elections. They fill these people up. They fill up these big Democrat machines, these big Democrat cities like LA and Chicago and New York with illegals, and that inflates their numbers. It inflates their numbers in Congress and in the Electoral College. Probably these people are engaged in a lot of voter fraud. Ultimately, these people have kids, and if Democrats are advocating for them, then the kids vote Democrat forever. And in the case of Minneapolis, it's a big part of the scam. If the illegal immigrants are stealing a ton of money, there's all these programs that are set up, all these entitlement programs, and they're administered at every level, municipal, state, county, federal government. At every level, there is a graft taking place. There's stealing happening. This is a form of organized crime, effectively. And like I said, we saw that in Minneapolis. That was a hotspot for welfare fraud in a much larger story about welfare fraud, which says a lot. And anyway, so we've been in this situation where there is just this extraordinary effort by the media, by the Democrats, the Democratic Party. It's all over social media, to even to the extent that Trump is doing the deportations, to just get it to stop. Because if we begin to think in terms of a country, that we have sovereignty, that the citizens have a right to determine who gets to live here, who is allowed to enter, who is allowed to remain. And if people are not allowed to remain, then we have the right then to physically remove them. The Democrats don't even want us to go there. They don't even want 250,000 people kicked out. They don't even want the idea that we have a zero tolerance policy for illegal immigrants being inside our country. They can't tolerate it. So they've got this huge effort. And to me, this is really just the most fundamental thing. I said it last night. I said it the night before. It's really not that complicated. You have exactly two options, and there are only two. Either you deport every illegal alien and you have mass deportations. There are tens of millions of people here. They have no right to be here. It's not legal. It is against the law. And we are going to enforce the law against them. We're going to pick them up, we're going to take them out, and we're going to massively deport every single one that has no business living inside the country. That's option number one. The only alternative, literally the only alternative, is that you get a mass amnesty. You're either getting a mass deportation and you're deporting all of them or most of them or a very significant number, or you have a mass amnesty. If you do not deport 30 million people or 20 million people or 10 million people, if you do not deport tens of millions of people, then what are you doing? You are giving amnesty to tens of millions of people. You are telling them, hey, you broke the law. You have no right to be here. You are here illegally. You are in the red zone. Return to the battlefield. You have 5 seconds or you're going to respawn. Like, you're telling 20 million people, we are not even going to bother to try to enforce the law. So those are the only options. There is no third way where we say, well, we're going to have mass deportations, but not for everybody or most people, and we're going to do it in a polite way. These are the options. You massively deport or you massively amnesty. How could it be any other way? There is literally no other way. They either get amnesty or they get deported. And what happens if they get deported is that it gets ugly. You cannot remove 30 million people from the country without violence. You just can't. It's statistically a necessity. Statistically speaking, it's not 1 in 1 million. It's 1 in 10 million. Do you think that you can remove 10 million people without 1 in 10 million? Think of the odds. Getting killed, getting beat up, getting falsely imprisoned or misidentified? The answer is no. So if you are down with mass deportations, well, then you have to be down with ICE. Because who else is going to do it? How else are you going to do mass deportations without immigration enforcement agents with guns and armored vehicles picking them up? And if they're doing it, yeah, they're going to kill some people, especially if there's an organized left-wing resistance. So when you think about this logically, in a series of if-then statements, if these people will not be amnestied, then you have to deport them. If they don't want to leave, then you have to coerce them. If you're coercing them, you need a big armed force, overwhelming force with tactical gear and guns and armored cars to get them out. If you're using overwhelming force and violence, which is a necessity, some of them are going to die. And if some of them are going to die, then you got to be okay with that. You can't, when one person dies, chicken out and say, well, I was okay with violently removing 30 million people, but not if someone's going to get hurt. So what? Now you're in favor of a mass amnesty? No, it doesn't work like that. You are either a woke, left-wing, anti-white piece of shit, and you want to amnesty 30 million non-white people that don't care about our country at all, or you have to physically remove all of them, and some of them are going to die, and you don't need to love that. You don't need to be celebrating that and saying, hooray, and you know another person was gunned down in the street. You can say it's a tragedy. You can say it's unfortunate. You can say it's less than ideal. But you have to tolerate it if you're serious. And that's really it. As far as I'm concerned, it's really... this is a fork, okay? If ever there was a fork, this is it. Because you think about what is going on in the country, and these non-white people, these illegal immigrants that have come here, this underclass, they just cannot be tolerated anymore. It's just, and if you have ever had a firsthand experience with it, it is ridiculous. These people come here. They take advantage of the system in every way. And there's something indescribable about it. There's sort of this intangible quality. There's this certain level of arrogance or aloofness or smugness, which they all have. They come here and they act as though, they feel as though the rules do not apply to them. For them, this is just how it works. You come here and you lie about being an asylum seeker. You come here illegally. You come here and then you get on some kind of a public benefit. You come here and you have three families living in a single family residence. You come here, some of these people that have been here, you know, for 25 years, paying their taxes, working hard, they never learn English. How do you go to a country, you're here for 25 years, you don't pick up the language? No English, they say. No English. You're here for decades. It's crazy. And so we just can't be a serious country and tolerate this. Nobody wants to live with this. Why should we have to? There's one solution. Get them out. Get them out. And horrible things are going to have to happen. Now, this has been happening in the country. The Democrats are playing it up. The Democrats have mobilized their shock troops, these psycho radicals in the streets, interfering in these operations, trying to get ICE to back down. And we've talked about this. The purpose of the tactic is basically to create so much chaos and so much unpleasantness that the Trump administration decides it's simply not worth the trouble. Don't you realize that's the strategy? It's just a high-pressure tactic. You have these left-wing scumbags, and that's what they are. These are losers. These are bottom of the barrel losers. These are idiots. They are not smart people. These are people that are not successful. They don't add to society. In many cases, these are people that are insane. These are people that are mentally ill. These are people with mental disorders. They have BPD. They have depression. They've got serious issues. Because who else could it be? I mean, what kind of decent, normal person with any kind of conscience, with any kind of wherewithal, any kind of reasonable person, what person like that is in the freezing cold at 3 a.m. with a drum kit outside of a hotel where ICE is blowing a whistle next to a guy in an inflatable frog costume and people are playing trombones? Who wants to be a part of that? It's a freak show. And it's everything that any decent person hates, that any decent fascist hates. It's just chaos and disorder. It's a bunch of ugly freaks and weirdos screaming and yelling, lighting fires, vandalizing stuff, blowing stuff up. This is not a good scene. And anyone that participates in this is like a subhuman. Anyone that participates in this is a degenerate that is not really a part of our society. I mean, these are not normal people, okay? And I understand, don't get me wrong. There are liberal people, there are center-left people, there are normies, and many of them don't like what ICE is doing. And that's one thing. There are many people out there that maybe aren't sold on mass deportations, and you know, maybe they don't like what they see from ICE. But the people that are out there in the streets, that's a different category. The type of person, these like true believers, this bucket of people at the lowest level filtered down that are actually going to be deploying with the John Brown Gun Club, with the mission, you know, and they're in the DSA. These people are lost. And anyway, these people are out there. And what the strategy is, in other words, they don't have power. These are not credible people. They are just out there to create so much unpleasantness and so much chaos that the government decides it isn't worth the trouble. That's what that is. If they are out there doxing ICE agents, if they are out there giving death threats to the higher level government officials, if they are out there in the streets vandalizing hotels, causing a scene in Target, if they are out there trashing the city, well, what effect does this have? The Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, representing Target and Marriott and Home Depot and all these businesses, they come out and say, hey, we got to de-escalate, because Target doesn't want 50 nut jobs shutting down their store. And Marriott doesn't want 100 nut jobs banging drums and pots and pans outside their hotel, smashing the sign with a hammer. And, you know, this is how this works. And the normies don't like it either. The normies in the city, they just want relief. They say, we don't want all this craziness. We don't even really have a strong position. But look, we want to go to work. We want to bring our kids to school. We don't want the ICE commandos driving through the streets, battling it out like Fallujah with Antifa. Like, we don't want to live like this. So they just make it unpleasant for everybody so that the administration decides it's not worth the trouble. And this is really the story of how our country has fallen, which is to say that you have decent law-abiding people. I would argue that's the silent majority, even non-white people too, even Hispanics, even blacks. In their heart of hearts, they really just want to go to work, make a living, send their kids to school. To the extent that they have a political inclination, they want prices to be stable. They want cheap health care. For some of these immigrants, they have a special interest. They want to bring their family in for chain migration. They're seeking paperwork and things like that. But what always happens is that whenever the normal people, the decent people, even if it's just white people, let's say, even if it's just taxpayers, if they want to appoint a government or elect a government to enforce the laws against BLM, against illegal immigrants, against government corruption, whatever it is, the Democrats' play always is just to cause a bunch of problems, and the reasonable people back off. They say it's not worth it. It's not worth the trouble. What are we out here fighting for? What are we out here causing all these problems? You know what? Let's just stop antagonizing the crazies. Let's all go home and let's just not bother anybody. Let's chill out. That's always how it goes. And I've been saying for 10 years, we, the law-abiding people, we, the white people, we actually now have to become the unreasonable ones. We have to match their energy. We have to face them. We have to confront them in a showdown, and it's going to be a battle. I mean, both sides are going to take losses, whether that's political pressure, a lost election, violence, whatever, and whatever violence looks like. I mean, you know, whether it's the vandalism or it's an arrest, whatever. The law-abiding people eventually are going to have to stare in the face of the chaos. We're going to have to meet them on the battlefield and confront them and decisively win. That is what is required. And so this brings us to the situation over the weekend where this kid gets killed. And this is what I call that confrontation. We are there in Minnesota. We're barely doing deportations. The radicals are out in full force. Some of them are getting killed. Some people are getting arrested, like kids, and people are being misidentified, whatever. The mayor, the governor are emboldening the crazy people. So ICE is deploying thousands more troops. We're going in there. Then this guy dies. Alex Preddy dies. And our own side wants to undermine our political position. Our own side starts to say, hey, I'm all in favor of immigration restriction, but that was too far. And this and that. That was too far. That was too brutal. I don't support that. He was a citizen. He was a veteran. He was a nurse. He was a legal concealed carry permit holder. And I said this on Monday. I said it about Renee Good. If that's you, you are just not serious. You will lose. You have blinked. You're playing a game of chicken and you just lost. This is the fight. We are taking the fight to them to deport some illegal immigrants. They are resisting. We are putting down the resistance. One of their idiots dies. And now our own side says, all right, uncle, let's just surrender. Now let's talk about, because these two stories are related. So what do we find out now about Alex Preddy, the guy that got shot? Well, when he gets shot, what does the media say about him? Well, first of all, they produce an AI-edited picture of him. Anybody catch that? So this guy is an ugly freak. He just looks like a freak. He's got unkempt facial hair, weird physiognomy. He looks like a weird dude. The first thing the media does is they produce this AI-enhanced photo of him that makes him look like a total catch, makes him look really handsome. This is what they do, okay? This is the facelift. Then, how do they portray it on social media? They say he was a veteran. He was a nurse. He was a concealed carry permit holder. He was a medic. This white U.S. citizen, a veteran, a healer, a medic, selflessly went to Minneapolis to look after his fellow citizens. And he was gunned down because he tried to protect two ladies that were being apprehended by ICE. That's the story they tell us. And this is a psyop. And it worked. And you have all of these like right-wing Trump supporters. You have all these macho guys, all these 2A guys, libertarians, far-right guys. They're all going, what the fuck? Our government, our surveillance state, our totalitarian police regime just gunned down. I don't care if he was left-wing. He was one of us. He was white, blah, blah. It worked. Well, what do we know about him now? Yesterday, we get a statement from his family. What does the family say? His own parents say he's acting really weird. His behavior is totally strange. He hasn't shown up to work in months. We told him not to confront ICE, and he kept going anyway. So this guy went off the goop. Maybe he was a medic. Maybe he was a healer. Until he decided to dedicate his life to being some kind of socialist revolutionary. So he was a medic and a veteran, but he isn't anymore. Now he is some kind of left-wing nut job that has dedicated his life to fighting for Somalian scammers. It gets better. Now we have a video that is resurfaced. It has been going around for weeks. Before his confrontation, which ended in his death over the weekend, he got in another altercation with ICE. There's at least one, maybe two other altercations that we know about. One of the altercations resulted in a broken rib. The other one was caught on video. This is from the New York Times. It says, quote, "The nurse who was fatally shot by federal agents in Minneapolis on Saturday was pushed to the ground by different agents at a protest 11 days before he was killed, according to a newly unearthed video that shows him spitting and cursing at ICE and kicking a taillight and breaking it on one of their SUVs. The footage adds to what is known about the 37-year-old nurse, Alex Preti, who was killed by federal agents on Saturday morning after they pepper sprayed him and pushed him and a woman to the ground, a killing that set off protests in the Twin Cities and across the country. In the earlier incident on January 13th, Mr. Preti, wearing some of the same clothing as when he was killed, can be seen running toward a street corner where a crowd of protesters have gathered and are jeering at federal agents. He screams at agents, "What are you doing here?" He repeatedly curses at them, spits at one agent as he is getting into a vehicle. When the agents drive away, Mr. Preti kicks twice at one of the vehicle's taillights, breaking it. That seems to prompt agents to get back out of the vehicle and push him to the ground. The agents, some of whom are with Homeland Security Investigations, hold Preti on the ground for about 20 seconds before letting him go and driving off. As Mr. Preti gets back to his feet, what appears to be a gun is seen tucked into the back waistband of his pants. During the later confrontation with agents in which Mr. Preti was killed, he had a gun holstered on his hip. Okay, so I've seen enough. Fuck this guy. Seriously. He is not a hero. He is not a martyr. He is not a patriot. As a matter of fact, he shouldn't even be considered a citizen. Fuck this guy. And I don't care that he died. 100% justified. Good riddance. Bye. Bye-bye. One less piece of shit in the world. Good riddance. This is not a nurse, a veteran, whatever. This is a psycho. Who does this? Think about how psycho you have to be. This guy is out there and can barely contain himself. There is no restraint. This is not normal. No normal person does this. You want to go to a protest? Knock yourself out. You want to get bundled up in your parka, you want to go and bring your coffee and hold up a sign, you want to go with a friend and make your voice heard, God bless you, honestly. That is your First Amendment right to speech, to assembly. We do live in a free society. Hey, God bless you. You want to go in daylight on a weekend or a normal day, you want to stand in a public place with your coat on and make your case, that is your prerogative. This is completely different. You have people going about their lives and in private, in conversations with coworkers and family and friends, they might not agree with what is happening. Some of them might feel very strongly and commit themselves to activism. Maybe they bring a box of Dunkin' Donuts to the protest. Maybe they make a sign and they go to the demonstration. Again, I don't agree with it. God bless you. This is somebody who is clearly on a mission. He is out there to confront law enforcement operatives. You know, that's different. It is one thing to go in public and apply pressure to policymakers and voters. In a democracy, we have a representative form of government and we have elections. So if you want to go out in a public place that is owned by the people and you want to get your message out to prospective voters or to the representatives of the voters, again, that is how we do things in the country. But this guy is chasing law enforcement agents. Law enforcement is not elected. They are not representatives. These are people that have a job. These are people that have a job. They are public servants. They're working for the elected officials. And they are involved every day in life or death situations. Why do you think they carry guns? Because they are getting, in some cases, into violent altercations, physical altercations that could lead to death or serious bodily harm. So you have a guy who is, he's not going to a protest. He's not a demonstrator. He is a terrorist. He is out there. He is an outlaw at the minimum. At the minimum, he is an outlaw. He is there to confront law enforcement and harass them, attack them, dox them, interfere in their operations. Do you think it's a coincidence that he happens to be at a place where a crowd of people is gathered around an ICE vehicle? Most people have jobs. Most people have a life. So how are you summoned to a random street corner where a group of people has spontaneously mobilized, where ICE is carrying out an arrest? That means you are on top of it. You are in a group chat coordinating with people, sitting around waiting to be activated to go and assault cops. And then he sees cops. He is completely taken over by emotion, by rage. And you see the video, these are uncontrolled body movements. It's not like he's standing there holding up the sign and ICE is pushing them back or something like that, a familiar scene. No, he is aggressive. Aggressive, uncontrolled, unrestrained, flailing around, running up on ICE, screaming, "Fuck you, what are you doing here?" Spitting on them, flailing, kicking their car, kicking a car. Kicking the car, breaking the taillight. That's someone who is insane. That is a violent nut job. And by the way, that's a crime. Spitting on a cop is assault. How is that a protest? Spitting on cops that are leaving the scene. It's not like some guy is brutalizing you and in an act of defiance, you know, you are aggressively running towards ICE, confronting them as they leave, spitting on them, screaming at them, kicking their vehicle and breaking it. This cocksucker should be in jail. Those are multiple crimes. I mean, you could throw the book at this guy. None of that is legal. None of that is defensible. Who behaves like this? They throw him to the ground and then they let him go. They throw him to the ground and then they let him go. And by the way, he does all this with a loaded gun in his waistband. So imagine you're a federal cop. You are federal law enforcement representing the United States of America. Some deranged lunatic is running at you, screaming, spitting, kicking, and oh, he has a visible loaded gun in his waistband, in his pants. What are you supposed to do? Now, in this situation, they throw him to the ground and then they let him go. This tells us so much. One, it tells us everything we need to know about this guy and what he was doing there and what his intentions are and what his endgame is. Now we know who this person is just by that alone. But then it also tells us something about ICE, which is, people are saying this is an uncontrollable Gestapo made up of undisciplined thugs. If that's the case, why didn't this guy get arrested? He assaulted an officer. He vandalized their vehicle. He's got a loaded gun. They apprehend him. They let him go. He didn't get punched in the face. He didn't get kicked in the teeth. He didn't get put in handcuffs. He didn't get taken away. He didn't get shot. Now, there's another story that he got thrown to the ground by ICE in a different altercation and broke his ribs. So this guy was just doing this. This is a guy, this is a profile now of a guy who went crazy, stopped going to work, became part of some kind of political operation of activists that are resisting the government. And this was, he was irregular. He is regularly getting in physical altercations with cops, clearly getting thrown to the ground all the time, spitting on them, and he's carrying a gun. And he was doing it multiple times. I guess he just did it one too many times. How many times you want to roll the dice like that? If you are making a habit out of aggressively confronting police officers while you are armed and assaulting them, yeah, eventually you're gonna fucking die. I mean, obviously. And do you know what this reminds me of? This is no different than the black people. This is no different than BLM. Do you remember when we were being told about police brutality? The cops are the new Ku Klux Klan. Their job is not to enforce the law. It is to keep black people down. They are not there arresting vandals and murderers and thieves. They are there to keep black people down and prevent them from having opportunities. Remember this? They said, why is it that there are so many police-involved shootings of black people? So then all of these different states mandated body cams. And what did we see once every cop got a body cam? Once every police officer got a body cam strapped to their chest, Did we see a bunch of white racist cops giggling and laughing with each other about how they're going to oppress blacks every day? No, we see them going to black people that they're driving down the highway with their taillights busted. They get pulled over, they roll down the window, a stench of weed is emitted from the car. The black person is not cooperative, says they're not going to give him an ID. They run the plate, it's a stolen car, the license is expired. There's some sort of problem. The guy's got a rap sheet 3 pages long. Then they go to apprehend the guy, and the guy takes off running, or he reaches for a gun, and then he gets mag dumped. Very different picture. And it's the same thing. You go, okay, so, you know, you're not being pulled over for driving while black. First of all, your taillights are busted. So, you know, that's a start. Then you don't have your paperwork in order. Then you also have a warrant. You're doing drugs. And to add to all that, you're not even cooperative. So the cops are doing their job, pulling you over. They find out you got to go to jail, and then you want to run. Then you want to run, you want to make a move, and you wind up dead on the side of the road. And at a certain point, people say, okay, so what's the expectation? How many times, how many layers, how many times you want to roll the dice? How much do you think you can get away with here, actually? It's the same thing with the black people. Okay, so you got all kinds of vehicle violations. You have drugs in the car. You got a warrant out, and you're not cooperating, and you're resisting. And people go, shoot him in the leg. Well, they didn't have to kill him. Well, why'd they shoot him 20 times? They should have shot him, you know, like once and then seen if he was okay. No, at a certain point, you got to start handing out the death penalty. We don't want to live in a society with people like this, and you just can't. And by the way, think about it this way. You're in the middle of the story here where a police officer is in a fist fight with some criminal that they don't even know who it is. I prefer that law enforcement walk away from this encounter than a criminal. That's just me. If you're a cop pulling some degenerate over on the side of the road and you get in a physical altercation and you're rolling around, one person is in the wrong. And one person is a public servant, okay? One person is a cop representing the people of the state or the city or the country. And the other person, 9 times out of 10, is somebody who is in the wrong, either because they did something wrong or they have no respect for authority. You can challenge anything. We have due process. We have a 5th and 6th Amendment. You want to fight your charge? You want to fight your case? Okay, go to court. Go to court. You don't get in a fist fight with a police officer, a screaming match. It's just not how our system works. So when I see a cop and a criminal rolling around on the ground, one person is in the wrong, either for doing something wrong or because they're resisting the authorities, and the other person's a public servant. If push comes to shove, I prefer that the civil servant walks away, because one of them is putting their life on the line every day to enforce the laws. One of them is essential for the maintenance of order, and the other person is doing the wrong thing. So this is what happens with Alex Pretty. Guy gets killed. And what's the next step? The media creates this image. They AI enhance the image, you know, they face tune him. They make him look like a Chad. They give this sob story. He was a nurse, a medic, a tireless hero, a veteran, and all of the conservatives eat this up. They say, oh, poor guy. Oh, he got treated badly because he's white. Oh, it's such a sad thing. We find out the guy's a complete scumbag. So that was a lie. And then when you look at the bigger picture here, when you start in the beginning of the story rather than the middle, you realize it was only a matter of time before this was going to happen. Maybe his SIG didn't go off accidentally this time and a mistake wasn't made. How many times do you think you can aggressively run up on a cop, assault him with a gun in your pants and extra magazines in your car before you get blown away? I mean, honest to God, how many times do you think you can get away with that? How many times do you think reasonably you can do that and never have any consequences? And it goes back to the same thing with Renee Good. When, if ever, are there any consequences for anybody in this society? You come in illegally, you can't be deported. You broke the law. But they say, oh, well, but they've been here a long time, but they're a nice guy. Okay, but they shouldn't be here. You're a Somalian scammer. You're taking $8 billion from the state. Homeland Investigations comes in, and that is who Alex Pretty attacked in this instance. So again, there's no accountability for scammers. Then you get the nut jobs that show up, like Renee Good and Alex Pretty. They want to get in the face of police. You know, the lesbian wife is saying, come and get it, big boy. Drive, drive, drive. She goes to run over a cop. People say, well, you didn't have to shoot her. Alex Pretty's running up with a gun in his waistband. Well, you didn't have to shoot him. He was disarmed. Oh, sorry they didn't see that when they're being surrounded by nut jobs blowing whistles. At a certain point, there's got to be accountability. And this is what is so saddening about all of it, is when do the law-abiding, decent people grow the balls to say, you know what? Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. We need that kind of fortitude and conviction behind what we are doing to say, you know what? I can tolerate this guy dying. It just speaks to how weak our coalition is. We don't want to win. We don't want to win. We're not taking it seriously enough. If one of these people dies, people go, all right, well, let's just give up. We got 50 million illegals in the country, whatever the number is. It's so corrupt. It's so bad. Like, our country is gone. Venezuelans are taking over apartment buildings. They're stealing shit out of your car. It's burglary crews. They're looting the welfare system. One asshole dies, and conservatives want to lay down and say, never mind. Never mind. Forget it. Just let our country go. I don't want to see another protester die. And you go, wow, we have no stomach for this. And that's when you realize we shouldn't even start fighting if we can't take the heat like this. Then it gets better. So get a load of this. Now the Democrats in the Senate are going to shut down the government to impose restrictions on ICE. It's literally George Floyd. George Floyd is a scumbag, dies because he is stupid. Everybody says it's brutality, so what do? We handcuff the police. Body cams, abolish the police, defund the police, put restrictions on them, and what do we get? Crime everywhere. Crime wave. Same story. Some scumbag dies because of his own stupid decisions. Everybody freaks out. Now what are the Democrats doing? They want to defund the cops. Body cams, take their masks off, put the handcuffs on them. So Friday, there is a deadline for a $1.7 trillion appropriations bill. It funds a half dozen government departments and agencies. In order for the bill to pass, it needs 60 votes in the Senate. Republicans only have 53, 54 with a tiebreaker. So they're going to need six Democrats to come over and vote for this thing. They were going to vote for it. After the death of this protester, the leader of the Democrats, Chuck Schumer, comes out and says, we, the Democrats, will not supply the votes unless we separate the spending bill. We'll pass the spending for every department and agency except for DHS, except for Homeland Security, which runs ICE and Border Patrol. They said, because we will not fund Homeland Security unless they put restrictions on ICE. So they say, to avert the government shutdown, let's vote on every other spending item. We'll save Homeland Security for later because we don't want to give them another dollar until they agree to put these restrictions on how ICE is handling these operations. And among the demands, they say they want ICE to take off their masks. They want ICE to wear body cameras. They want to take away some of the funding. They want to make it so that ICE cannot make an arrest without a warrant from a judge. This is just some of their demands. This is a story from the New York Times. It says, quote, Senate Democrats on Wednesday demanded that federal agents carrying out President Trump's immigration crackdown take off their masks and stop warrantless searches and arrests, laying out a list of conditions they said must be attached to a funding bill for Homeland Security ahead of a Friday shutdown deadline. Senator Chuck Schumer, the Democrat minority leader, presented Republicans with a specific proposal that Democrats said they would insist on in exchange for their votes. In addition to a prohibition on federal officers wearing masks, they also demanded that the agents wear body cameras and carry identification. Their proposal would put an end to roving patrols and require warrants issued by a judge for arrests and searches. Democrats also want the federal agents to be subject to the same use of force policies that apply to local and state law enforcement, which require those involved in violent incidents to be subject to independent investigations if they are accused of wrongdoing. He laid out the demands the day before the Senate was scheduled on Thursday to take its first procedural vote on a spending package that includes funding for Homeland Security, as well as the Pentagon, State Department, and Treasury. If Republicans can't muster 60 votes to advance the legislation, which would require the support of at least 7 Democrats, it will stall with little more than 24 hours to go before the shutdown deadline. So the Democrats want ICE to be banned from wearing masks. They want them to wear body cameras. They want them to have to go to a judge to arrest or search anybody. They want them to be subject to an independent investigation if they're accused of doing something wrong. This is BLM. This is literally BLM. It's the same story. And do you know what the result is going to be? If even one of these policies passes, that is the end of deportations. It's over. Because do you know what happens? If ICE takes off their masks, then everywhere they go, they're going to be doxxed. And these cops, that's what they are, they're cops. They are going to be threatened at their homes. Their families will be threatened. They will be threatened with being unemployable, in the future. If ICE takes off their mask every time they conduct an operation, a left-wing shithead will be there taking a picture, posting it on the group chat, saying, "Does anybody know this guy?" Then they're going to find him, get his address. They're going to find his family, find his kids, find his wife, find everybody he knows, put it on an Antifa website, and then they're going to email the guy, and they're going to say, "We're going to kill your family. We're going to kill your kids. We're going to come to your house." That's what happens. And what ICE agent is going to do their job or even stay on the job if this is the risk level? Nobody's prepared for that. I mean, these guys are making how much money per year? 90 grand? I don't know what an ICE agent makes. I think it's more than your average cop. They're making 80 grand, 100 grand a year. You can't afford security like that. You don't have options. You can't live in a gated community. I mean, these are working class people. So you're screwed. Okay, now body cameras. Body cameras, honestly, might be an improvement. That's how it was with cops. Body cameras are going to show you the kinds of things that they're facing. But even still, that's a level of self-consciousness. Cops are going to be reluctant to do what they got to do. Sometimes it gets hairy and sometimes it gets ugly. And a body camera makes you hesitate. Every time you pull the trigger, every time you draw that weapon. And that puts you in a deadly situation. Because you can't hesitate. You got to be willing to let the chips fall where they will. So what does that mean? It means they're not going to put themselves in harm's way. Same thing with the independent investigations. All these other limitations. This is about handcuffing ICE. This is about making it so that they can't go after every illegal immigrant. It's meant to slow them down. If they got to go to a judge for every warrant, if they got to go to a judge to search somebody, arrest somebody, they can't get 4,000 warrants every day. They can't get 2,000 warrants every day. That's going to grind everything down to a halt. Then they do their operations. They're not going to put themselves in a situation where they're bound up by rules of engagement and body cameras and they don't have the masks on. This is about ending the deportations. And it's the same story. And if you were one of these right wingers that played up this Alex Pretty situation, you are a part of this. You did this. You fell for it again. This is the equivalent of posting the black square after George Floyd. This is the equivalent of hands up, don't shoot, Colin Kaepernick taking the knee. This is the same exact thing. You are sympathizing with the enemy that hates you. These left-wing nut jobs, they don't play by the rules. They are not honest. They are crazy. And they hate you. When Charlie Kirk got shot, they were celebrating. They loved it. Teachers, nurses, people that should know better, people that are educating your kids, people that are taking care of your elderly, they were on TikTok publicly laughing and celebrating that Charlie Kirk got shot in the face. And they did that because they're so proud, have no shame, and they think it's acceptable. They didn't even think twice about posting it because they said, of course we're glad this guy got blown away. That's who we're dealing with. If they had it their way, you would die. If they had it their way, our country would be destroyed. And you were crying over them because you said it's about the principle. Because you said, hey, well, I don't care what his politics are. He's an American. No, you do need to care. If your politics are mass amnesty and stealing from welfare and spitting on the police, I actually do care then what your politics are. I actually don't care then if the cops kill you at that point. You're not within your rights. You're not a good citizen. You are not in any way, shape, or form on our side. There is no sense of, hey, we're all in this together. He's a fellow citizen. He's a fellow white man. No, you're not. I don't identify with this person at all. Fuck this person. I don't want anything to do with this person. I don't want to live next to this person. I don't want my kids to be in a hospital where this person works. I don't want my elderly parents to be in a hospital where this guy works. I don't want to be this guy's colleague. I don't want anything to do with this guy. Fuck this guy. Think about it. Who does that? You are in Minneapolis in 0 degrees, LARPing as a revolutionary, fighting with the cops every day. This is a scumbag and a loser and the enemy of society. Fuck him. People are crying over this guy. They say, hey, at the end of the day, we're all what? What do you mean? I mean, that just means nothing anymore. That doesn't mean anything to me. He's a nurse. Okay, so are people that perform abortions. He's a doctor. So what? He's a veteran. Again, so what? You have people graduating the military academy that they say they're communists. I mean, literally, so what? If you're out there agitating for mass amnesty and anarchy and socialism, and you're fighting with the cops and you think Trump is Hitler, it's like, I got nothing to do with you. I have nothing in common with you. You're not on my team. As a matter of fact, you're my enemy. And they are the enemy. They are voting for this. Who do you think it is? When you get doxxed and there's all this pressure to get you fired, who do you think is making the calls? When your relative gets kidnapped by an illegal and chopped up and put in a bag, who do you think is standing in front of ICE to make sure that guy doesn't get deported? When another Democrat mayor gets elected in your city to make it so that there's crime everywhere and the city slides into chaos, who do you think's voting for that? Who do you think is donating and who's in the streets for the protests? It's people like this. They are tangibly out there to ruin your neighborhood. It's real and imminent and tangible. They are the shock troops of this machine that is ruining your life. And people want to divorce it and say, well, you know, they're not the hand of the system. They are literally the hand of the system. They might be getting the money from somebody else, but they're doing the dirty work. They're the ones getting in the scrum and fighting and in some cases dying to make the situation so unpleasant that we don't deport anybody. And if we don't deport these people, I mean, by definition, they're going to kill more Americans and rape more people and steal from people. If you have a criminal underclass of illegal aliens that have no paperwork, and a lot of them are committing crimes, and if they don't leave or get deported, statistically, some of them are going to keep committing crimes. Every one of those crimes that they can commit because they haven't been deported against a native population, you can thank these protesters for that. You can thank these protesters that are so extreme. They are not playing by the rules, following the law. It's not constitutionally protected. We won the election. That has consequences. This is all under the jurisdiction of the feds. And some shithead is going out there breaking every rule, every law. They have no decency, no respect. They are vile human beings. And they're throwing down their life to ensure that more Americans are hurt by people that shouldn't be here. Fuck them. Don't cry when they die. And here we are a couple weeks later, and people want to say, oh, well, I didn't know that he was actually some nut job. Of course he's crazy. And now the Democrats are going to use this. Okay, they got what they wanted from you. They got enough idiots to go online and say, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. You know, I support deportations, but not like this. Now the Democrats are going to say, we won't fund the government unless you destroy ICE. And then there's no deportations. Then they get their amnesty. It's what it is. We cannot be the stupid people anymore. We cannot be the suckers. Don't you realize that by now? It's called taking your own side. Who are the people that care about you? Who are the people that are fighting for your interests? Who are the people that are talking about these issues? Who are our people? That is who we need to care about. That is who we need to protect. Now, that doesn't mean that everything is justified against our enemies. I am a Christian. But we also have to be very practical and realistic about the conflict that we are in. No one is saying we need to go door to door killing every liberal. But we are enforcing the law. And if some psycho gets in the middle of that and they happen to die, well, I mean, you can say that that's a tragedy. But I also think that that is something that is just going to need to have to happen. That is going to have to happen over time. If they are in the way, well, get out of the way or face the repercussions. And it's shocking how many people do not have the conviction to understand that. It's very blackpilling. The amount of people I saw on the timeline that fell for this, I see a guy like Dave Smith. I was pretty animated about it. And I like Dave. I have to say that every time because it's a very sore subject. You know, if I disagree with somebody, but if I don't, you know, totally ball wash before, then they say you're attacking a guy for no reason. You know, I like Dave, love him, everything like that. But he posts this tweet and he goes, ICE are pussies. They're thugs. You know, I support deportations, but not like this. It's like, Dave, hey man, earth to Dave. This is an intervention. You're a libertarian, right? You want us to have liberty in the Constitution. How do you have liberty in the Constitution? We have 30 million illegal aliens and birthright citizenship. These people don't speak English. You think they're going to protect the First and Second Amendment, the Bill of Rights? You think they're going to protect any of that? How does that make sense? I mean, even if you're a libertarian, we got to get these people the fuck out. You're a libertarian, you know, don't hurt people, don't take their stuff. You think you got a right to run up to a cop with a gun and spit on him and kick his car? Dave, they gotta die. Dave, my friend, they have to die. I mean, they have to be killed by the cops. Even a libertarian should be able to recognize when somebody should be killed by the state. Guys like Dan Bilzerian, Jake Shields, they go, well, but ICE was trained by the IDF. Who cares? Who cares? If the IDF is training ICE to kill shitlibs, hey, well, at least they're learning from the best, man. Honestly. Wake me up when they're killing anti-Semites. Then I'll have a problem. You know? So I don't know. I've been doing this show for so long, and in some ways we've come a long way. In other ways, you go, when are people ever going to learn? But that's ultimately the problem, is we don't want it bad enough. They want it, and they are so extreme, unscrupulous, fanatical, and many of them are, like I said, they're just crazy. And we over here are reasonable. And we want to play devil's advocate, and we want to, you know, put the shoe on the other foot. We want to play and say, well, what if we were in the other person's shoes, and talk about double standards, fairness, and, you know, we think about how we can avoid being hypocrites. You're going to lose. And if we lose, we die. We lose, our country dies. So I've seen enough with it, but this needs to be drilled into your head. Renee Good, fuck her. Fuck her. She's another George Floyd. Good riddance. You know, these stupid idiots. I said the other day, they're writing in her eulogy, her lesbian wife or something writes about her, she sparkled. I'll pull it up. This is how ridiculous these people are. Let me read you the statement. I got to get the whole thing. Let me see if I could find the whole, because it's like, this is who we're dealing with. Find the whole transcript. Yeah, here we go. This is from the lesbian partner. She says, first, I want to extend my gratitude to all the people that have reached out. The kindness of strangers is the most fitting tribute, because if you ever encountered my wife, Renee Nicole Macklin Good, you know that above all else, she was kind. Kindness radiated out of her. Renee sparkled. She literally sparkled. I mean, she didn't wear glitter, but I swear she had sparkles coming out of her pores all the time. You might think it was just my love talking, but her family said the same thing. She was made of sunshine. She lived by an overarching belief. There is kindness in the world, and we need to do everything we can to find it where it resides and nurture it where it needs to grow. We were raising our son to believe that no matter where you come from or what you look like, all of us deserve compassion and kindness. She lived this belief every day. She is pure love. She is pure joy and sunshine. We had whistles. They had guns. Okay. Like, you're a baby. We just want to be nice, and we're made of sunshine, and we sparkle, and we're made of rainbows. These people are lunatics. These people are stupid lunatics. And if we let them have their way, it's all going to go. Like, everything that we have is going away. These are not serious people. They cannot run our country. They cannot look into the face of evil, which comes in the form of chaos and lawlessness and disorder and crime and cruelty, and defeat it. People look at these ridiculous people, Renee Good and Alex Preddy, and they say, my goodness, it's a tragedy. We're all humans. Tucker Carlson says a woman was killed. This is a tragedy. A nurse was killed. These are two 37, 38-year-old brainwashed, psycho, progressives, getting in cops' faces. I know I've said it over and over, but, you know, I have no sympathy after everything we've seen about them. And unfortunately, there's this time delay. It's no different than George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and the rest of them. You get this sob story. They pull on our heartstrings. They guilt trip us. They create this fiction about who these people really are. Just long enough for us to put the handcuffs on ice. And once that happens, you're never going to get a bill that unleashes the police. You know what I mean? You're never going to get in a situation where we put body cameras on the police and we make them accountable and this, that, and the other. And then the bill passes that says, you know what? Take the body cameras off. Let the cops go. You're never going to get a bill that says unleash the police on the citizenry. You're never going to get Republicans or anybody in the state government and the federal government saying, so we have a new bill. It's called Unleash the Government. And we're going to take the body cameras off. We want less accountability. We want cops to get away with things. We want them to be as violent as possible. Like, you never go in the opposite direction. So this is what they do. They blow up a sob story about the enemies of humanity just long enough to put the handcuffs on the police. And then it is over. And then you just get crime and disorder and decay and chaos. And then people are left wondering, hey, what the hell happened? Then you get these boomers with their hands in their pockets outside on the sidewalk, getting their paper, talking to each other, saying, hey, man, I don't know what it's going to take to change this. World keeps getting crazier. How do you keep falling for it? So people are just not prepared for what is necessary. People are so afraid of ourselves. You know, we need Greenland, we need Venezuela, we need mass deportations. Like, we need to use the state and power to make the world safe for ourselves. It's that simple. But people don't want to do that. People are still living in this fantasy where we're going to reach across the aisle to these people that hate us at the UN, in Congress. We're going to go to these third world shitholes. We're going to go to these Antifa drug dens. And we are going to find common ground by being sappy and soft and weak. And I don't know, we're going to blame the Jews for all the problems. And I know how that sounds, but that's literally what they want to do. You know, a guy like Jake Shields and Dan, they say, oh, well, you know, the Jews are the enemy, not the left. It's like, yeah, the Jews are one of the groups that is hurting us, but so is the left. The idea that you're going to shake hands with some white leftist the white leftist wants you dead too. We're going to say, hey, man, let's just team up against Israel. It's not going to happen. We are in a war on all fronts. Mark Levin wants us dead. Alex Pretty wants us dead. Chuck Schumer wants us dead. Shapiro wants us dead. They all want us dead. So stop sympathizing with them. Take your own side. That's the message always. Anyway, I'm rambling a little bit, but that's that. I do want to move on. We're going to take a look at our super chats. We'll see what you guys have to say about all this. Now we know the whole story. Now it's just not even debatable. And I hope everybody realizes, as always, we were there first. All the low IQ anti-Semites were trying to tell you, no, ICE is controlled by the IDF. Oh, this person was a citizen. Now you know.